Last week, a New South Wales coroner urged federal and state health ministers to take great care in drafting legislation to reform maternity services. Now, the fear is that the proposed reforms will make home births illegal in Australia after July 1st next year, and if that happens, home birth services will go underground. The coroner wrote to health ministers outlining his concerns following an inquest into the death of a baby born at home in northeast New South Wales in July 2007, a tragic story. Well, with me to talk about the proposed reforms and the impact on home births is Dr. Barbara Vernon from the Australian College of Midwives. Barbara, welcome to the program.
Good morning, Joe.
Now, before we get into how the legislative reforms will impact on private midwives, perhaps you could just give us a bit of an overview of the reforms being proposed for maternity services by the federal government. Not all of them, I believe, are negative.
No, that's certainly the case. The reforms that Nicola Roxon has announced as part of the federal budget in May are actually very, very encouraging for women and their families. Basically, Nicola Roxon has listened to the voices of women and also considered the significant amounts of research evidence showing that women benefit from having care from a known midwife through their pregnancy, labour and birth and the postnatal period, and that the access for women to that care by a known midwife is too limited in Australia. So she's made a major groundbreaking commitment to expanding that access for women, and the major mechanism that will be used to support that is giving midwives the opportunity to provide Medicare-funded care to women.
Mm. And also access to the pharmaceutical benefit scheme, I believe.
That's correct, so that if a woman is actually needing to have some kind of antenatal test, or there might be a need for a use of pharmacological substance like syntocinin to assist with the afterbirth, then those drugs will be actually reimbursed through the pharmaceutical benefits scheme. So it's really a significant step forward.
And the government will provide professional indemnity insurance for most midwives, but those working in the hospital system, is that right?
It's not so much that the midwives will be working in the hospital system. Certainly, the insurance the government is offering will support eligible midwives providing Medicare-funded services. Mm. And they will be certainly supporting women to labour and birth in hospitals, but they'll be providing pregnancy and postnatal care in the community and in women's homes. So the women will be able to link up with a midwife early in pregnancy, have all of their antenatal care with that same midwife, who'll follow them into the hospital and provide midwifery care for their labour and birth and work with any other health professionals in the hospital that woman or baby may need, and then follow them out again after discharge from the hospital and continue providing care for up to 6 weeks after the baby's born.
Okay. I want to come back to that in a moment, but there's also a national system of registration that's being proposed as well as part of all this.
That's correct, and that's really where the key pressure has come in relation to home births. It is quite a separate process that's been occurring to create a national registration scheme for health professionals, which is a positive move and will have lots of benefits. But unfortunately, one of the provisions of that scheme is that all health professionals must have insurance. Mm. And while that's a very good thing because it'll protect consumers in the event that they can prove negligence by a health professional, it's problematic for midwives currently in private practice because they're not able to purchase that insurance. And that means that midwives who are currently providing care for women at home, to give birth at home, will be unable to continue their registration beyond 1 July next year if they wish to continue providing home birth care.
So effectively it does make it illegal then?
Yes, in effect, it means that the midwife would be in breach of their registration conditions if they were to provide care for women at home in the absence of insurance for that care.
And why can't they purchase the insurance?
Well, the insurance fell away in 2001. The reasons for that were not related to the outcomes of care by a midwife. They were more related to wider factors like the collapse of HIH, and also a case that took place in 2002 in which a court awarded a multi-million dollar compensation payment to a family who'd received obstetric care some 20 years earlier. And so the combination of those two factors meant that insurers reassessed the commercial viability for them of insuring midwives, and particularly since there was a small number of midwives at that time seeking an insurance policy, it was hard to build up a large enough pool to make it commercially viable.
So if I can just get this straight, if private midwives haven't been able to get insurance for some time, how will the situation now be different under the proposed reforms?
The major change that is occurring with the new reforms is that the federal government is offering to step in and provide indemnity support for eligible midwives providing Medicare-funded services. But unfortunately, the government has not included the option for women of birthing at home. So women who choose a Medicare-funded midwife in the future will be able to have a midwife who's fully insured provide their whole episode of care, but women who are wanting to birth at home will face the prospect that they cannot access a registered and regulated midwife to offer that care. And we have really grave concerns. We share the concerns of the coroner in New South Wales in this respect. It is the case that the choice of birth at home is a safe and appropriate choice for women with a low-risk pregnancy and who remain healthy throughout their pregnancy and have a single baby in a head-down position at full term. There's lots of evidence overseas to show that that choice is as safe as hospital care when there's a regulated, competent, qualified midwife in attendance. What's not safe is for a woman to actually birth with no health professional, no doctor or midwife in attendance. And we're really very, very concerned that some women might feel so strongly that they feel unsafe in the hospital maternity system that they then make that extreme choice to birth without a midwife present, and that's, you know, already been shown to be not a safe or appropriate choice. So we must make sure that women have access to a registered midwife, that that midwife is up to date and current in their professional development, is practicing in alignment with professional standards, and all of those speak to the recommendations of the coroner in the case in New South Wales. But we also must make sure that women can continue to access such midwives and they're not pushed into making an extreme choice.
We're speaking with Dr. Barbara Vernon, Executive Officer of the Australian College of Midwives, about the future of home birth after the Maternity Services Review takes effect. Barbara, there's only a small percentage of women who are having home birth at present, isn't there? I mean, we're only talking about, 700, 800 home births a year, which is, you know, below 1%, but it's about 0.3% of the full figure. Should we be worried? Because it's only really a handful of people, isn't it?
Yes, that's certainly true, Joe, that there's 700 or 800 women a year right across Australia, and it is a small percentage. Part of the reason it's a small percentage is that it's not a choice that is made very accessible for women. And certainly in countries where home birth is supported as a legitimate and well-integrated choice in maternity care, then larger numbers of women do make that choice. I think the critical factor here is that it's really important that every woman does have the opportunity to determine who's involved in her care and the place in which she wishes to receive that care, but also that when she makes a choice to birth at home, it's not one that she's somehow punished for. If there is a decision taken by a midwife in attendance that the woman may benefit from receiving medical care or that the baby needs medical care, then what we have to achieve is seamless integration with our hospital-based services. So we really see the current crisis as creating an opportunity for all of the stakeholders to come together, for the obstetricians, the midwives, the consumers and policymakers, to come around the table and say, well, what we've had in the past has actually not been ideal. Midwives have been ostracised. There's been occasions where there's been poor transfer to hospital. Once transfers occurred, the doctors have felt that they haven't known anything about the woman's prior history, and so it's challenging for them to get involved in care at that point. All of those things have been flaws of the system we've had, but it is legitimate that women would make that choice. It's an evidence-based choice, and so what we need to then do is say, how do we make sure that choice is a safe and appropriate one, that it's well supported, that if transfer is necessary, that's a seamless process and the woman gets the care she needs when she needs it.
Just go back to this question, though. If the private midwives won't be able to get registration and they can't practice legally, do you really believe that they will operate an underground service?
I suspect many midwives faced with that choice will discontinue their practice altogether or move into providing care for women birthing in hospitals, but we are concerned that some midwives may make the choice to allow their registration to lapse and attend women as a support person, not as a midwife. And the key risk with that is that they would no longer have access to the kind of professional development that's needed to maintain their emergency skills, their maternal neonatal resuscitation, keep growing and learning as a professional, and they would also no longer be accountable to a regulatory body for their professional conduct. If they're an unregulated person providing care in the community, not as a health professional, then we no longer have any kind of framework for that practice.
Mm-hmm.
So it certainly is a grave concern if we went to that kind of system.
It's a very circular and very knotty problem. I mean, right at this very moment, this current impasse, what do you think the solution? What can break it?
Well, look, I think the federal and state health ministers have the power together to resolve this problem in the interests of women and their families. And the key strategies that are needed is to bring health professionals together with consumers and plan out a model of care that is evidence-based and is going to work better in the interests of women, and also to extend professional indemnity or to exempt that requirement for midwives until such time as a private sector solution can be found on professional indemnity.
Mm.
And I think it's particularly important for the women who might have complex needs and who are making the choice to birth at home at the moment. We've talked about the women that are healthy and low risk, but some of the women making the choice to birth at home at the moment have experienced trauma in their maternity care previously and are making the choice to birth at home as a way of responding to the trauma they've experienced, and because their needs are not being well met within our mainstream maternity services. So the third key thing we need to do is have a good long look at why it is that we're creating trauma for women, how it is that we can prevent the process of traumatising women in the first place. But then if we do have women who've had a really grave experience in maternity care, that we provide really excellent support to those women with a subsequent pregnancy to ensure that the care is more humane and that their needs are better met and that they feel much more empowered to be a decision maker in their care rather than being told, you know, what it is that's going to happen to them.
Dr. Barbara Vernon, Executive Officer of the Australian College of Midwives, thanks for joining us on Life Matters today to talk about this impasse with home births.
Thank you very much, Joe.
Yeah. And, of course, we heard concerns last week voiced here on Life Matters by the new president of the National Association of Specialist Obstetricians and Gynecologists, Dr. Hilary Joyce, about what she felt about home births, and that got quite a response from you. And if you'd like to comment on today's story, just write to us, abc.net.au/lifematters.